Look in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. Luke 4:31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent, and he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the word of God we have in our hands. We thank you for salvation bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word and to preach your word and teach your word. I pray you'll be with every Sunday school class this morning and be with the teachers and those that hear. We pray, Lord, if there are any lost in the midst of our services, that, Lord, they will be convicted and brought to a knowledge of you. We pray for Father, for every born-again believer that's in our midst, that they'd be drawn close. Lord, we just ask you to have your way and give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we finished up last week there where he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Jesus preached a little different than the other people that they'd been hearing, different than the scribes, different than many of the other teachers, because his word was with power. Let me tell you something. The word of Jesus Christ is still with power. Now, the problem is that many people who preach it, they take the power out of it. They make people doubt the word. I don't know how many men I've heard stand up and say, well, a better reading would be. What'd you just tell them? The Bible in their hands no good. They need something better. Or how about the Catholic Church, where they say, you can't interpret the Bible for yourself, you need a priest. Well, aren't these same preachers doing the same thing? You can't interpret the Bible for yourself, you need a priest. You need a priest who knows a different language. You need somebody that can interpret the word for you. If you'll just take God's word and just preach it as it is, it will have power, it will touch souls, it will save souls, it will change lives. The problem is messing with the word of God. You don't hear me correct this book. What I got in my hands is an old King James Bible. That's all I use. That's the only way you can correct me. You can't correct me with any Greek. You can't correct me with a modern version. You can't correct me with your opinion. I don't really care. I've got the word in my hands. I'm going to go to the judgment seat of Christ with this word I've got in my hand. You don't need to apologize for it. You don't need to correct it. And you don't have to listen to all of the bashers of it. Just preach the word. One of the tracts we've used, we've published it 33 million times. The full page gospel ads and whatever is four things God wants you to know. Simple little track I carry it all the time. It's this little yellow track that we use. That's a modification of that track. Some of the verses shortened because of the way we put it in the newspaper. But it's basically this track. And we've had hundreds of people saved just reading the Word of God. I learned a long time ago, God didn't promise to bless my preaching. He didn't promise to bless a lot of my ideas. He didn't promise to bless a lot of things, but you know what? My Bible says he blesses his word. Where the word of God goes, the Holy Spirit goes too. Now, it's an amazing thing. I know people can get saved on a golf course. I'm sure it's happened. I know people can get saved on a fishing trip. I know it's happened. I know you can get saved in your bathroom. I know it's happened. But you know people generally get saved where they're preaching the word of God? You know, it's an amazing coincidence that the Holy Spirit sort of goes where the word's preached. And you want to deaden your church real good, you start apologizing for the Bible. You start doing your best to correct the Bible. You start trying to improve the Bible with your great wisdom. Or the next Greek supposed scholar that comes through who thinks he's number four in the Trinity, really. And he's going to help you out with the Word of God.
Take the Bible and believe it.
Amen.
Just believe it. Don't worry about all the critics out there. I'll tell you what, His Word was with power. His Word is still with power. That's how I got saved. I heard the preaching of the Word of God. And over the years, that's what's blessed people and touched people's heart. And you know, it's a wonderful thing just to sit down and say, I have God's Word, and read it and accept it as God's Word, and it'll be that. It will be. It is. Take the book you got in your hands, read it, trust it, and tell it to somebody else. You know, I remember witnessing in many different occasions, but one particular instance where this person said, well, I don't believe what you got in your hands. I don't believe the book you have in your hand. I said, well, I don't care. I do. And I said, he said, well, I don't believe it. I said, yeah, but it says the wages of sin is death. He said, I don't believe that. He said, well, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's true anyway. Whether you believe it or not, the wages of sin is still death. And Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus Christ is coming again. And my friend, you're going to meet Jesus one of these days, and you better repent of your sins right now. Why? The Bible says so. Just take the book and preach it. And that's what Jesus did. You see, he spoke different than the scribes. He spoke with power. He spoke directly to men. He gave them the word, and Jesus' word is still with power. And basically, every service we have in this church is around the word of God. We don't care who calls you on the telephone last week. We don't care what you read in Reader's Digest. We really don't care what happened on television. We care what God's Word has to say. And if we build our Sunday school classes and we build our church and we build our ministries around the simple preaching of God's Word, God is going to build up Christians, and God is going to save lost people, and God is going to make a strong fellowship and a strong family and a strong church. The only two things I'm really interested in, one of them is the family and the other is the church. These are the two things God started. A lot of these other things man started. And I'll tell you what, you get your family right, you get your church right, according to the Word of God, God will bless you. You don't really need anything else. You don't need a college, you don't need a cemetery. Tell you what, I'm not saying you don't need to go to college, you probably do, that's a good door opener. It's a good door opener, you ought to go to college. But don't go to college to get your Bible. If you got a good church, go to church to get your Bible. Go back to your home to get your Bible, because I'll guarantee you the college teachers and preachers are not going to give you this Word. They can't afford to. They make money by teaching you this thing's not true. They write all their books showing you how much smarter they are than the Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is, there's only three in the Trinity, if there is a Trinity in the sense of Trinity, you know. Trinity's not in the Bible. I believe there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's one God. God, as He revealed Himself to us, Jesus Christ is God. He said, in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was in Jesus Christ walking on this earth. He's the only Savior, the only way, and this is your only real hope. You believe the Word. You know what you know about God? What you're reading this book. You say, well, I've experienced this and experienced that. I've talked to a lot of people with some experiences. I talked to a lady on her front porch one day. I was walking down the street and went up on her front porch. She's sitting down on the front porch there, and I began to witness to her about she needed to get saved. Well, I'm saved. How are you saved? Well, I went down to a meeting and I had all these cancers in me, and this guy prayed over me and all those cancers jumped out of my mouth and ran off the porch. Now that was her experience. Well, I don't know what her experience was, but that's not how you get saved. You know that? You get saved by repenting your sins and believing in Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the book says. It's real simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus' word still goes out with power. Now, when Jesus went to His hometown synagogue and stood up to preach to them, and He opened the book of Isaiah and preached Isaiah 61, and He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, they rejected Him. And another place He says He could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. And they went out to kill Him. They went out to throw Him over a hill. He passed by, and He says He went on down to Capernaum. Now, He taught them on the Sabbath days. Jesus begins His ministry by going into the Jewish synagogues and teaching them the Old Testament scriptures. By the way, many of you may not know it, but most of your New Testament is really quotations of the Old Testament. Great deal of it anyway. It's quotations of the Old Testament. Doesn't always tell you it's a quotation of the Old Testament unless you take a concordance and run it out. But it is anyway. And Jesus is taking the things in the Old Testament and teaching them to these people about Himself and about His coming and His fulfillment of prophecy and whatever. So He goes into these synagogues and He teaches week after week after week. That's how He began His ministry. You know what Paul did when he did his ministry, how he started the churches that he started? He went into the synagogues first and taught the Jews the things in the Old Testament concerning Christ And many of them, God opened their eyes, and they saw, they believed, they got saved, they trusted in Christ. And then before long, the other Jews couldn't stand them, and they put them out. But the churches started in synagogues all across the Roman Empire. And they were split off. Because it was very, very soon realized that you just couldn't stay a Christian and stay in the old thing. It just wouldn't work. So he taught them, and his word was with power. He taught them in the synagogues. As his custom was, it says he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, it'd be a pretty good custom for you to go into the synagogue, I mean the church on a Sunday, whenever they meet. When they meet, you ought to be with believers. I was just talking to a family this week, and I said, you know, they were telling me, oh, how down they were. And I said, well, you know, you need to be with Christians. God made the church for you. Understand me, God can use anything you give him. Testimony, word, presence, money, time. But he doesn't need anything you have. Believe me, God does not need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And when he decides to turn something, he can simply turn it like that. But you miss out on a tremendous blessing when you don't let God move in you. When you're not around for God to touch. When you're not around for the Holy Spirit in other believers to bless you. You need the church. Your children need the church. Tell you what, if you had a godly mother that took you to church all the time, you ought to thank God for it. Now, not all mothers are godly. I know this is Mother's Day. Someone asked me, what did you get Verlene for Mother's Day? She's not my mother. I didn't buy her a thing. Not a stinking thing. If her kids want to buy her something, that'd be fine. In fact, I bought myself a big rocking chair. And she can't sit in it unless I'm not there. You know, all these days are created. I'm sorry, mothers. Dads, your turn's coming next while. They're created by the flower industry and the card industry and the commercial interests. And to make you all feel guilty if you don't go out and spend a whole lot of money. That's what Christmas is. Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He wasn't born on that day, I guarantee you. You know what Christmas is? It's a great big commercial venture that they've sold you over a bill of goods to make a lot of money. You know some of the biggest people around Christmas are Jews. Do they believe in Jesus Christ? No, they believe in making your money. They believe in promoting a whole lot of things. Listen to me. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. In fact, I celebrate it every day. Am I happy he was born? I'm tremendously happy he was born. I'm even happier that he died. And died in my place on the cross of Calvary. Well, you ought to be in the house of God because you need other Christians. You need believers. You need to be encouraged. Your kids need to be encouraged. You say, are all the people in the church good people? Of course not. Here Jesus preaching in a synagogue and there's a devil right there. You think that's changed any? I've been preaching over 40 years. I guarantee you it hadn't changed much. There's still devils around. A lot of devils in the churches too. Quite a few of them in the pulpits. Look at this verse 33. And he was in the synagogue, and in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. There are devils. There were devils in Jesus' day. This is not just an old way of saying what would be mental illness in our day. There was mental illness in that day. There were devils in that day. There is mental illness today, and there are devils today. Now, do you know how to go around casting them out? I don't. Half the time, I couldn't tell the difference. Can you tell the difference? Jesus could. And I'll tell you what, the devils recognized him. He recognized him. I tell you another interesting thing about this guy that's filled with the devil. You know what he's saying? He said, leave us alone. You ever heard that? Any of you been witnessing any period of time, any of you that have talked to some lost soul or been into a home and start talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ or about repentance, you know what they're going to say? Leave us alone. My wife and I were visiting some time ago, and we went into this house, and years ago the practice was, when I started preaching 40-something years ago, the practice was a lot of people didn't want to go to church. Many, a lot of daddies didn't want to go to church, but they wanted to send their kids. They didn't mind you could send a bus by and pick up their kids, or you could do a lot of them pick up their kids. Well, this lady let us know she didn't want to go to church and said, well, we'd be glad to pick up your children for Sunday school. No. If we send them to your church, you're going to teach them that what I'm doing is wrong. She was living with another man she wasn't married to. Yeah, we're going to teach them what you're doing is wrong. That's right. I'll tell you what the world wants to do. They want to live in their sin. They want to have their way, and they want you to leave them alone. Leave them alone. They're going to do anything they can to keep you from preaching to them, telling you that you need to be saved, that you need to repent of your sins and accept Christ as your Savior. Now that's what you need, and you need a change in your life. Everybody needs it. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address. You're simply not going to make a mistake knocking on a door and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, because every family needs it. Every person needs it. If you're not saved today, you need it. I'm so thankful somebody knocked on my door. I'm so thankful two preachers I worked with when I was in the military witnessed to me, tell them dirty jokes. I would embarrass them. I would give it back to them. I was a big cut up. But you know, one day I got saved. How much a part they had in it, I have no idea. How much a part my saved wife had in it, or somebody praying for me back home had it, I don't have any idea. But I'm thankful for everybody that witnessed to me. I'm thankful to everybody that preached and preached the Word of God. I'm thankful to everybody knocked on my door and gave me a gospel tract. I'm thankful to everybody that rebuked me for my sin. I'm thankful for that. Now, I wasn't too happy about it at the time, but I'm thankful for that now, because what Jesus did for me is the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And then once I got saved, do you know the easiest thing after you're saved is to get backslidden? It's so easy just to stay home. It's so easy not to read your Bible. It's so easy not to come to church and not to meet with other saints. It's so easy. You have to have a commitment. You have to have a drive. You have to have a reason. But you need the church. Now, Jesus starts preaching here in this synagogue, and there is a man that's got a devil in him. And as I said, devils are real. They were real then. They're real today. We in the United States don't recognize them very much. I've talked to a couple of missionaries from South America and some of the islands where they tell me some experiences that just make the hair stand up on my head. You can't tell when it's standing up or not, can you? Hey, this is the new style. I saw you boys. Hey, they got a good haircut. I like that. Praise the Lord. Follow the preacher. Amen. Good style. At any rate, the devils don't want to be messed with. They want you, and I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people out there, they want to be left alone. But you know, that's not our job. Our job is not to leave people alone. I remember I was going through college and I was selling cemetery plots. You do almost anything to get through college, you know, make a living. And I remember knocking on the door of this one lady, and she just broke down crying and said, "I am so sick and tired of you salesmen coming around and bothering me." And I walked back and quit. I said, "I will bother people for the gospel, but I'm not going to bother them for anything else anymore." And I went out and got me another job. But at any rate, I'm not telling you wrong if you're a salesman. Maybe you're a good salesman. I'm not a salesman. I am a preacher. I am a teacher, but I'm not much of a salesman. But I will bother you for the gospel's sake. I will offend you for the gospel's sake. I will confront you for the gospel's sake. And Jesus confronted this devil. You know another thing I like about this? The devil recognized him, knew who he's talking to. Isn't it an amazing thing? How many people don't know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How many people are in ignorance of the salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ? But the devil recognized him. Are you smart as the devil? Do you recognize Jesus Christ as Lord? Jesus Christ is God? Jesus Christ is the Savior? Well, that devil recognized him, and he cast him out. And I imagine it made a great stir in the synagogue when he did it. Look at verse 36. "They were all amazed and spake among them, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Here it is again. Jesus' word was with power, and Jesus' word is still with power. If you will believe the word, it'll bring power into your life. Romans chapter 1 said, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The gospel, simple little gospel. Gospel is not the whole Bible. The gospel is a simple message in the Bible. It's the good news that Jesus came and died for you on the cross of Calvary. And while he was there, he paid your debt. He died. He rose again from the dead victorious over it. And all that will believe on him can be saved. That's a word with power. And here he is again. He's preaching his word with power. By the way, must be somebody here lost this morning, because God's sure making me give the gospel several times around here. Maybe you're lost. If you're here and you're lost, very simply, trust Christ. Don't trust your religion. Religion won't get you anywhere but to hell. Religion never saved anybody. Don't trust the church. Church can't save you. Don't trust your baptism. I don't care how many times you've been baptized in the San Antonio water system. There's no salvation in the San Antonio water system. Salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you get that by simple faith, by trust. Do you believe the message? You know, I didn't know very much about the gospel. I didn't know very much about the Word of God. When I got saved, I'd heard that God would have mercy upon any sinner that would repent and call upon Him. And I recognized I was a sinner. And I repented and called upon him and God saved me. It's that simple. It's just that simple. It's not a matter of how often you go to church or whether you're good or not or how much money you give. You can't buy salvation. You simply can't do it. Salvation is a gift of God and he gives it to those who believe him. Whether they're rich or they're poor, whether they're old or they're young, whether they're sitting in a prison cell, or whether they're the sweetest little grandmother or mother that ever was. And I had a sweet mother. I thank the Lord for her. I got a sweet wife too. I thank the Lord for her. Amen. His word was with authority and power. He could command the unclean spirits and they came out. Tell you something else Jesus could do. He could command anything he wanted to and it would happen. Remember him being on the lake of the Gennesaret? He's on the lake out there and there's a great big storm. And Jesus is in the midst of the boat and he's asleep. You see, Jesus can sleep in the midst of storms. I don't know why you can't. You know, another thing that really tickles me, these disciples have seen all sorts of miracles by Jesus already. And they go wake him up and say, Master, we perish. How are you going to sink in a boat where Jesus is? That boat couldn't sink if it wanted to. Not with Jesus there. Hey, every time he met a funeral, he broke it up. He walked into people where they were dead and just lifted them up. Man, they went walking out again. He walked down, caught a funeral coming by, touched the casket and said, go back home. Go back to your mother. You couldn't die around Jesus and that boat couldn't sink around Jesus, but those disciples had to have their faith strengthened a little bit. Did you know with Jesus Christ around you and Jesus Christ in you, you can't sink either. Ah, his word is with power. He can speak to the sea. And by the way, his word's power for you. His word's power for you. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. You know, a different thing about the ministry of Jesus and all the modern evangelists of our day is advertisement. We as evangelists and churches and ministers and preachers, we get on radio and we get on television and we make all sorts of claims and we tell everybody to come and we do our best to get a crowd. Jesus didn't have to do that. His fame just spread. I mean, it was word of mouth. It was everywhere. And in fact, it was so much so that it hindered his ministry. Too many people around him. And he would tell people, no, don't go telling them anything about this. He got finally, in the latter part of his ministry, he couldn't hardly enter into a city. It was just plain too crowded. His fame just went everywhere. It was word of mouth, and people came to hear him. They came to see him. Look at verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife, mother, was taken with a great fever, and they sought him for her. Isn't that an interesting verse? To me, it's a very interesting verse. It's a very doctrinal verse. You wouldn't think about it. But you know what? Simon, that's Peter, had a wife because this was his wife's mother. Is that interesting to you? That means the first pope was married. You ever thought about that? Oh, somebody's anti-biblical somewhere, aren't they? Well, I guess Simon Peter was a married man and his wife had a mother and the mother was sick. And so I just think it's very interesting. I thought you'd like that. And he arose out of his synagogue, entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife, mother, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. He stood over, rebuked the fever, and he left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them. I'll tell you something else Jesus' word had power over. It was any kind of sickness or disease there is. Now, I believe in using whatever means we have at our disposal, but I also believe in prayer. Now, we don't have healing meetings, but I believe God heals. I believe God answers prayer. Now, he doesn't always answer prayer, though. He doesn't always answer prayer. But sometimes he does. And I've seen God, in his mercy, answer many prayers. And we gather around here on Wednesday nights and we pray. It's an amazing thing. Sometimes you just see how God has just been merciful and blessed and answered prayer. And sometimes when the doctors don't know how and they can't figure out how it happened, why, all of a sudden, somebody's just completely healed. And just the doctors are amazed. Why? They don't understand. In fact, sometimes they'll even say, well, he must not have had it. It must have been a bad diagnosis. But no, God still hears prayer. God still answers prayer, and God still heals. When I had my eye operated on a week ago, the doctor prayed over me, and I thanked him. You know, it's not always you get a Christian doctor. Sometimes the doctors are so smart, they're smarter than God. And they're smarter than the Bible, and they don't have enough knowledge as to trust the Lord. But my eye doctor, when he's getting ready to operate on my eye, and I'm laying there, he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he prayed for me and prayed for the operation. I was tickled pink, man. Yeah, I like to have a man who's praying, cutting on me. I'd rather have a guy that's praying. Of course, now, again, I want a good technician, too. I want a good cutter. But it's nice if he prays. But anyway, I thanked him. I thanked him for praying for me. And I appreciate that. But Jesus heals. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go to a doctor. Now, there's a whole lot of people that think, well, if you have enough faith, you don't need to go to a doctor. Well, that might be true if you had enough faith. I haven't met anybody like that yet. I haven't met any people with that much faith. Now, I know some people, they pick up rattlesnakes, and but you know, they buried a lot of them out in the churchyard. You say, well, some of them lived. Yeah, well, other people who get bit by rattlesnakes, only 1 out of 8 dies. Percentage-wise, 12.5%, you got a pretty good chance of living from a rattlesnake bite. Now, I don't know about cobra bites. I mean, that might be a little different, but rattlesnake bites about... So, but I don't have the kind of faith that says I'm going to test it with a rattlesnake. I'm not going to stand out in front of a train that's coming down at 90 miles an hour and say, my time's not come yet. I want to prove it. You know what God will do? He'll just say, your time just came. You better not tempt God. You better not test God. But God has the power. Jesus had the power to walk up to a devil-possessed man, cast the devil out of him, or to walk up to a sick woman and heal her, make her well. You see, not every sickness is devil-caused. And in the Bible, they're both. I believe both of them, because I believe the Bible. But immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, I'll tell you what, this is a woman that felt like serving. Service is a wonderful thing. We all ought to be better servants. And she was a servant, had a servant spirit, a servant heart. And boy, when they got her, the only reason why she wasn't serving, you know, an interesting thing about the healing of Jesus Christ, and one of the things different about the healing of the modern healers, he healed everyone. I was in a healing meeting one time. I wanted to go see what they were doing. And so I was, he said, all God-called preachers up on this platform. Well, I'm a God-called preacher. I went up on the platform. And I'm sitting there listening, you know, and watching, and I wanted to be close where I could see what was happening, because I was an unbeliever in him, that was for sure. But at any rate, they brought some cripples up, and he said, we're going to take care of the cripples on Thursday night. I almost laughed myself right off the platform. We'll take care of the cripples on Thursday night. Bring all your cripples on Thursday night. Hey, man, if you got the power to heal, why leave them crippled 3 more days? Get them out of their wheelchair right now, man. Get them up and get them walking. There's a lot of garbage. There's a lot of showmanship. There's still a lot of Barnum and Bailey going around. But God does heal. Jesus does heal. And you can pray and God will heal. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't use a doctor either. You can sit back and say, well, God's going to feed me. And if you don't go to work, he might not feed you very long. I've seen some people that I had a young man that got saved right after I first got saved. And he was, well, deeply in debt. He had just gotten himself way over, head over heels in debt. And we were talking to him about serving the Lord. And somebody preached on tithing, that if you tithe, God, if you give God 10%, God would make your 90% take care of everything else. And so he gave 10% that week, but he was real upset because God didn't pay all his bills. I went by and visited, wondering why he was all mad, why he was all hurt. He said, well, God let me down. Well, explain this to me. Well, back in those days, $300 was a lot of money. And he owed $300 before he bought groceries. And he didn't make but probably $160. He owed $300 a month. And he figured, well, this is a good deal. I'll become a Christian, start tithing, and I give God my $16, and he pays my whole $300 plus my meals. It may not work exactly that way. You know how it worked for me? I'll tell you how it worked for me. I was tight. I was making $196.30 a month. Had a wife and one kid and one coming. And when I got saved, the preacher said, well, you ought to begin tithing. I didn't know what tithing was. What are you talking about tithing? Just give 10% of your income. Okay. Hey, I took a $20 bill and dropped it in the plate. Made $196.30 a month. $20, that's tithe. You know, I quit going to the shows and I quit running around and I quit doing lots of things. And we didn't do a whole lot of things. And you know where I was? I was at church every time the doors opened. Didn't cost me anything to come to church. We saved money. We saved money. We were at everything that happened at the church, you know. It was pretty cheap. We were entertained Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They said generally had something going Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. We were there all the time. They had a ladies' meeting. I'm there. I want to learn. Whatever they had to do, I wanted to learn. Man, I got a good dose of religion. Jesus saved my soul and changed my life. I like the people of God. I lost a lot of my friends, but I made a bunch of new ones. Why, man, I used to every month, at the end of the month, we'd want $10 to go out to eat or do something like that. I'd take my own one-button roll. You wouldn't know what a one-button roll is, but it was a nice zoot suit. And I'd take that one boot and roll down to the hock shop and hock it for $10 and pay $12.50 to get it out 2 or 3 days later. I never had to hock my suit again after I got saved. It did work. It does work. You ought to give to God first. You remember Elijah walking up to the widow woman who just has enough food to feed herself? He says, give God first. Feed me first. I always thought about that. It's terrible. Feed me first. But it's not terrible. It's a principle. You put God first. Put Him God first in your finances. And God will help you take care of the rest of your finances. You'll do a whole lot better. You'll do a whole lot better. Anyway, they brought all their sick, and He healed them all. He didn't leave anybody out. He didn't wait for the cripples on Thursday, or for the dead on Friday, or for somebody else on another day. No, sir, He healed them all. I want to tell you something else about the healing Jesus did. You didn't have to walk by faith for 3 weeks for it to take place. When He healed them, they were healed. When the withered hand came to it, looked like the other one. It wasn't that you could wiggle the withered finger a little bit. It was that hand was made whole like as the other one. When Jesus did the healing, He did it right. And He did it immediately. And He did it completely. And He healed them all. There wasn't anybody that went away that didn't get it. And He says, and the devils also came out of many. Not every sickness is of the devil. But the devil does cause some sickness. And He said right here, the devils came out of many crying out, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And He rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew that He was Christ. The devils knew He was Christ. Do you know He's Christ? The Bible says, you believe in one God, thou doest well. Devils also believe and tremble. Just believing there is a God and believing one God is not enough. You need to come to the place you believe in Christ as a Savior and you trust Him as God. He'll save your soul and He'll change your life. But just because you have a, well, I believe, I know He is. I talked to a man just yesterday. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God? He's the only Savior of the world. Yes, I do. Are you saved? No. He believed that but knew he wasn't saved. The devils recognized Him. My, this world today doesn't recognize Him. It says, and He rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that He was Christ. And when it was day, He departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought Him and came unto Him and stayed Him that He should not depart from them. Like I was saying before about the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't have to advertise. He didn't have to have a portion of His money set apart as an advertising budget. His fame just went out and it got to the place for Him to try to get any time to Himself. To try to get away. He couldn't get away because everywhere He went, they were calling Him, calling Him, calling Him, calling Him. And here He goes out into a desert place. You know, Jesus' practice was to go out alone and pray. Do you ever go out alone and pray? Maybe you ought to. I mean, if God in the flesh, walking on the face of the earth, God the Son, thought every day He needed to talk to God the Father in heaven, I think you and I need to talk more. I think we need to spend some time in prayer. Well, Jesus is going out into a desert place. Now, He certainly wasn't going out there to find a group to preach to. You know what deserts are like? They don't have big crowds. I pastored a few places in the desert country. And man, your visiting circle is as big as San Antonio. But to get a whole lot less people, you know, to get about 50 people, you drive a radius of 50 miles, you know, to get out there in West Texas to try to find some people. And there's one place I pastored that the good Lord willing the creek don't rise was a reality. If it rained and the creeks rose, there wasn't anybody going to make it to church because they couldn't make it across the roads and the creeks that were out there to get to church. He went out into a desert place. He's going out into a place to be by Himself. He's going out to a place to be alone. And the crowds just keep following, man. They've seen His miracles. Some of them have been healed. They want to be around this man. Wouldn't you want to be around him too? I would. I understand exactly why they're going. I also understand his problem. The more they know him, the more he can't go into the cities. He simply has a hard time getting in there because of the crowds that are coming after him. And you know, they sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. Why don't you just stay right here? Why don't you build a church right here? Why don't you just build a synagogue right here? Why don't you be our local pastor? Why don't you be our local teacher? We want you to just stay right here. Well, wouldn't you want that? You bet I would. Man, if you could sit at the feet of Jesus week after week after week, wouldn't that be wonderful? Hey, to meet with the Lord, to have Him preach the Word, to have Him explain the Scriptures, to have Him comfort your heart, to have Him feed you. He fed 5,000 men besides women and children. That got to be 30,000 crowd. Might be bigger than that. Those big Jewish families. I know He fed 30,000 people with just one boy's lunch. Wow, what could He do? Why, he could heal you. You would never have to go to the doctor again. Just go down and say, Jesus, let me touch the hem of your garment. You'd like to keep him right there. Well, that's exactly the way they were. We want you to stay right here. Don't go anywhere else. Don't leave us. Don't go somewhere down the road. Stay right here with us. And here's one of the greatest missionary messages. Look at this verse. He said unto them, verse 43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. It's not enough to stay one place sometimes. We need evangelists. We need evangelists. We need missionaries. We need people who will go out and preach. This country was evangelized by Methodist circuit riders. Men who believed the book and went anywhere and everywhere and preached the Word of God. They went into wild places and they started churches because other cities needed them also. Other cities needed them also. Sometimes they'd have 12 or 15 places they'd preach to. Preach, go on horseback. And some of them, when the horse broke down, they walked. They did whatever they had to do to get the gospel to other cities also. The same way you have a church that's preaching the Word of God and you're blessed by that Word. Yes, but there's a lot of other places that need the Word of God. Poland needs the Word of God and Russia needs the Word of God and Brazil needs the Word of God and Mexico needs the Word of God. And by the way, San Antonio needs the Word of God. He said, when they wanted him to stay, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. You know, we need to get a little bit of burden in our heart for other cities also. We need a burden for other cities also. How many of you support a missionary? You ought to. You ought to. If you don't, you ought to. You say, I don't make enough money to support a missionary. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Fellas selling newspapers can tithe. Give 10%. I know some will give more. Some will make a whole lot less than you. I know some missionaries who live on less than your house payment is and do a good work for God. And I've had people tell me, oh, well, I can't give anything to missions, preacher. No, because you own 2 boats and 3 cars and a house and a lake place. Of course you can't give. You already spent it all on yourself. You spent 30 years in the future on yourself already. You don't have anything to give. Well, maybe you ought to sell something so you could give. Maybe you ought to get a burden. You ought to get a burden for other cities. You ought to get a burden for other families. You ought to get a burden for other people. It's always preaching on money. Yeah, I will. I'll preach on money. You know why? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some of you are deformed. That's where your heart is. You get all offended? Get offended. See if I care. You know what? You're just a bunch of old stingy guts, most of you. You got your little candy, you keep it all yourself, don't share it with any of your friends. Go in the backyard, go in the bathroom, eat it real quick so your friends don't know you got it. You're about that way with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I must preach the gospel to other cities also. Let me tell you what, every city in the world needs the gospel. You can't take the gospel to the wrong city. It's like you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. You can't take the gospel to the wrong city because there's not a city out there that does not need the salvation of Jesus Christ. There's not a family out there that doesn't need it. I can remember going, in fact, it was right up this street here ways. And I was knocking on a door one day and I talked to this lady, are you saved? And she said, look, you don't need me. You need to go next door. He's a real bad guy. He really needs to get saved. And I had a real hard time trying to get her focused back. She needed to get saved. But no, she was living next door to a drunk. You know, it's sort of nice sometimes to live next door to a drunk because that make you feel pretty good. Of course, when he's drunk, you don't feel too good because he's making so much noise and bothering you so bad. But sometimes when we live close to somebody like that, we think, I'm better than them. Are you really? Well, maybe you are in some ways. Bless your heart, but are you saved? See, being better than a drunk doesn't get you saved. Being better than somebody that fights and causes all sorts of trouble, That's not what the Bible says, how you get into heaven. Are you better than Jesus Christ is what I want to know. Are you as good as Jesus Christ? Well, if you're not, then my friend, you don't have a ticket into heaven. And you see, your ticket into heaven, my ticket into heaven is He gives us His righteousness. That's what happens. When you call upon Jesus Christ and you ask Him to forgive you and save you, He takes all your sins and they're put into His account that was paid on the cross of Calvary. And He takes all His righteousness and covers you with it. And you walk into heaven dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. Nobody earns it. Nobody pays for it. Nobody can ever pay it back. It's so big and so great and so wonderful. He said, I got to preach this to other cities also. And He preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Now, Jesus was not a missionary. He was an evangelist. Missionary leaves his own language, his own people, his own home, goes to another country to reach other people for Christ. A pastor stays in one place, one town, one location, one church. He not only preaches the gospel, but he teaches people and he tries to raise them up and build them up and strengthen them so that they'll go out An evangelist goes from city to city, from synagogue to synagogue, from church to church, spreading the gospel. That's what Jesus was. You can say he's a missionary in the sense he came from heaven to earth, but not really in the sense of his life. You see, he never preached outside of the Jews. Remember the Syrophoenician woman came to him? He says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Ah, but great faith that woman had. She says, truth, Lord, but dogs eat crumbs. He said, woman, great is your faith. Go, have what you wanted. He took the place of a dog, said, I just like a crumb from the table, and he gave it to her. But he didn't preach to the Gentiles. It was left up to Paul and to Philip and to others to go out and to preach to the Gentiles out there. Jesus was a Jewish evangelist. He was a preacher to his own people. And he went from church to church, from synagogue to synagogue, preaching the gospel in other cities also. Well, I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the salvation of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that we have this in our hands this morning. We can come and gather, teach, preach, study His book. You need the fellowship of other Christians. You need to be reminded week after week that you're a spiritual being and that you have an eternity out there. And you know, we think about this thing, the sun's going to rise tomorrow and the sun's going to set tomorrow and it's just going to continue on forever, but it's not. It's not. One of these days, this whole thing is just going to turn loose. Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take his church out. And then the greatest time of trouble the world's ever going to see is going to fall upon this earth. If you're saved, you'll go with Jesus. If you're not, you'll walk through great troubles and trials. Get saved. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk with Christians. And preach the gospel to other cities also. Lord bless you.